Last time we began to look at the six typical men found in the book of Romans. We looked at last time the first one, the guilty man, found in Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 12. Today, I want to look at the second man that's found in the book of Romans, the justified man. The justified man. For that, we need to turn to the book of Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, if you would. Beginning in verse number 24, and we'll look at verses 24 to 26. The Word of God says this: being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that he might be just in the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. We saw last time how all of mankind, Jew and Gentile alike, are guilty under sin because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. We read in Romans chapter 5, if you'll turn there, in verse number 12, we read this: wherefore, as by one man, and of course the one man is a reference to Adam, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, in death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. So think about it for a moment. Basically, all of mankind is on death row, waiting individually their appointed day of execution. In the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9, in verse 27, the words of God say, in as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. However, because of God's love for mankind, amen, because of God's love for mankind, in one of the greatest verses in the Holy Bible, in John 3:16, is talked about God's love for all of mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, God, my friends, has provided the guilty man, or the unjust man, the sinner, a way to be justified in His eyes, in God's eyes, to be vindicated or cleared, found not guilty of the charges against him. The charge is guilty under sin is charged. The sentence, Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. Awaiting physical death, then spiritual death, the lake of fire for time and eternity. Now, what was the price as we go back to Romans chapter 3? In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, what was the price that had to be paid? Well, in verse 24, Romans 3, the words of God say this: being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice freely. Free. It was free to the guilty party. Nothing for you and I to do. The means of being justified in verse 24? Grace. Grace. God's grace. Grace has often been described as God's riches at Christ's expense. Although the price to be justified did not cost or cost the guilty man anything, still someone had to pay. Someone had to pay the cost. It was a great cost. To whom? To God. Amen. A great cost to God, my friends. And how is this grace obtained for the sinner, the guilty man, my friends? Verse 24 in Romans 3 tells us, through the redemption that is in Christ. That redemption, we get our word redeemed, being buying back something. What was bought back? Christ bought the sinner back from the slave market of sin. We said earlier the cost to justify the sinner was at a great cost to God, his son. You know, sometimes we forget. It was indeed a great price, was it not? We're told many a times in the words of God this great cost. I want us to look together at some of these verses. First, I'd like us go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 with me, if you would, and look at verse 20. Words of God say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 20, for ye are bought with a price. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because you were bought with a price, my dear friends, as a born-again child of God, each and every day that you get up, you should glorify Almighty God in your body, in your spirit, which belong to God anyways. Amen and amen. Let's look at 1 Peter with me in chapter number 1 and verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We're told that we were bought with a great price. We were bought with a price. What was that price? We read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, for as much as ye know that ye were redeemed, is that word redeemed, bought back, you were not redeemed. We're told the things that were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, material things, in other words. Money can't redeem us. From your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers. Religion. Religious traditions cannot buy us back from that slave market, a friend, from sin, my friends. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood, the precious blood of Christ, God's own blood, redeemed us from the slave market of sin, my friends. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 14. The words of God tell us, in whom, the whom here in the verse is referring to in the context of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption. Is that word redemption, redeem, in whom we have redemption through his blood, That's how redemption is obtained, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that, even the forgiveness of sins. Look with me now in the book of Titus, chapter number 2. In verse 14 we read, who gave himself, who being Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. See, we needed to be bought back from that slave market of sin, from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He redeemed us from all our iniquities. He purified us. And unto himself, we are to be a peculiar people. We're not to be like this world. The world is to look at us as if we're peculiar and strange. And we're to be zealous of good works because we're saved. After we get saved, we should be zealous of good works. Amen. Zealous, in earnest, fired up for God. Amen. And then in Hebrews chapter, if you look at the book of Hebrews chapter 9, in verse number 12, we read, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, his being Jesus Christ, own blood, he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So back there in the Old Testament, the blood sacrifices that they offered of animals couldn't redeem them. Their sins weren't cleared. Amen. But Christ's own blood, he entered into the holy place up in heaven and obtained eternal redemption for us. Notice, eternal redemption. We're redeemed eternally. It doesn't end. It doesn't stop until the next sacrifice. It's eternal. There's no more sacrifices but what Christ did for us at Calvary. Amen. In the book of Revelation, if you look at the book of Revelation with me, chapter 5, in verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. See, that redemption by Christ's blood, amen, redeems everyone who will come to Jesus Christ and place their faith in his blood atonement for their sins, and that alone. It's not just singling out one group of people, but it's for all people who will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Now, the price of justification, amen, redemption, was the blood of Jesus, amen. Now, I want us to return, if you would, to our text, which is Romans chapter 3, where we began. And I want us to look at verse 25. So we want to go back to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 25 together. And the verse says this, whom, referring to Jesus Christ, God has set forth to be a propitiation. See? Propitiation means payment. The payment. Christ's blood atonement was the payment, the sacrifice. A good verse to go with that, to tie into that, is found in 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 2. And he, again in the context, referring to Jesus Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only. John's writing here, in his first epistle here. He's telling us that Jesus Christ was a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, not for those that he's addressing here and speaking to, but also for the sins of the whole world. See? For everyone. You know, it's not just singling out any race. It's not just for the Jews. Amen. It's for the Gentiles. It's for every person, man, woman, boy or girl, amen, on this earth. Amen and amen to that. Christ is the payment, the sacrifice for our justification. So how is a sinner justified, my friends? Well, it's given by God freely by his grace. It's obtained by Christ through his redemption, his shed blood. And it's received by the sinner by faith in Jesus Christ. How does the guilty receive this justification that God gives freely by his grace, that Jesus obtained for the sinner by his finished work at Calvary? Again, the answer is found in our text today. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, we read there this: whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation, amen, through faith in his blood, amen. So that's how the guilty receive this justification, through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. I want us to turn to, for a moment, to the book of Galatians. I want us to see something there. In chapter number 2, in verse number 16. Let's read that verse together. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the key word there is faith of Christ. We have believed in Jesus Christ. No man is justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Justified by the faith of Christ. Look in Romans chapter 4 with me, verse 5. Romans chapter 4, in verse number 5. Notice. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted, amen, for righteousness. Key word there is believeth. Believeth. Amen. In other words, you can't earn justification. It's obtained, how? By faith. Faith. Amen. Amen to that. Now, Romans chapter 3, again. We go to Romans chapter 3, and we look at verse 26 of our text. It says, to declare, I say, at this time is righteousness, that he might be just, a justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Believeth in Jesus. See that? That justification is obtained by faith in Jesus Christ. So verses 25 and 26 of Romans 3 tells us not only justified when we believe in Christ, but also declared righteous. What a blessing. See, verse 25 of Romans 3, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You see, justification is being accounted righteous before God. What happens is, when a person gets saved, the sinner puts on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And God sees him as perfect in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We hear that word imputed. God's righteousness, Jesus Christ's righteousness, is imputed or put on our account. We put on that righteousness, and Christ takes upon us his sins. See? Henceforth, God sees the sinner justified in the Savior, hidden in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, therefore, is the judicial act of God whereby those who put faith in Christ are declared righteous in his eyes and free from guilt and punishment. We see the doctrine stated in Romans chapter 4. Let's turn to Romans chapter 4 and verses 3 to 5. Romans chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. Beginning in verse 3, for what say the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, Abraham believed God, and it, what is the it there in that verse? His belief was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you can work for your salvation, it's something you've earned. It's not reckoned. It's not of grace. It's something of that's owed you. But that's not the case here. And verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, Abraham was righteous because of his faith. He believed what God said. He was not righteous because of works. Faith is believing what God says. Amen? That's what it is. In other words, you read the scriptures. The Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. You believe that? Amen. You believe what God says. So you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Because you're believing in what the Word of God has to say. You're believing that it's only through, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that you're redeemed, that you're justified, and you're declared righteous in the sight of Almighty God. Because what? Because you believe the Word of God. You believe what God said. Now, the justified man. The summation of who the justified man is. We looked at justification. How does it come? It's given by God freely by His grace. So, it's free. Redemption is free. Justification is free. It's given by God freely to everyone who will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's God's grace. God gives us grace. God gives us something that we do not deserve. Amen. You and I do not deserve to be saved. But God loved us so much that He sacrificed His own dear Son so that we could be saved. So, justification, the justified man, he's justified. This justification is given by God freely by His grace. But in order for God to give us justification freely by His grace, there had to be a payment. How is this obtained? Well, it was attained by Christ through redemption. Jesus buys back the sinner by His blood. See, you and I were dead in trespasses and sin. Amen. Our master was the devil. We were children of disobedience. Our wages were death. Not just a physical death. We all know that we die. Unless it's a believer, Christ comes from you at the rapture, you'll go up and you'll never see physical death. But other than that, you physically die. But the wages of sin is death. The payment for your sin, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, is that lake of fire. That literal lake of fire. That will be your home for all time and eternity. There'll be no relief. See? So, that justification, amen, is given freely by God, by His grace. It's obtained by Christ through His redemption, through His shed blood. And it has to be received. Received by the sinner by faith in Christ Jesus. And once the sinner receives by faith the shed blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else to pay for his sins, the sinner is not only justified but declared righteous by God as if you had never sinned. What a blessing. We sometimes forget about it after being saved for so many years, but it should be something afresh in our minds and our hearts every day so we can appreciate just exactly what our Lord and Savior has done for us. Justification, therefore, is the judicial act of God where those who put their faith in Christ are declared righteous in His eyes and free from guilt and punishment. Remember I began and said basically we're all before salvation on death row, awaited for the appointed time after death comes the judgment. Amen. That's what all mankind is waiting for, is that judgment. But we're taken off of death row. We're no longer on death row. We're given a pardon, actually better than a pardon. Because every sin committed is forgiven and forgotten by God. Amen. So we've clearly seen today our second typical man found in the book of Romans, the justified man. Amen. I hope you'll continue as we continue our study here in the six typical men found in the book of Romans.